Hi, this is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project. Today we have three stories for you. The first is written by a sperm donor, and the latter two are written by donor-conceived individuals. And our first is titled, I Am a Sperm Donor. I'm an open sperm donor. I donated around 6 years ago. I'm gay. I did so because a work colleague was infertile, and so I decided that I could help other couples. I called the sperm bank last year, and I have three children with one on the way. I think about them all the time and hope that they are happy. I want my children to find me when they are 18 and ask for my details. Though they may choose not to, that's their rightful decision. I let the sperm bank know that they can contact me earlier if they want. I think it is unethical to have anonymous sperm donors. They should be able to be contacted by the child if the child wants to have contact. I will probably adopt children in the future, rather than having my own. And our second story is called I Regret. It's a little bit shorter. Early on, my parents had told me that I was donor-conceived. I hadn't really cared at first. It made no difference to me. But as I began to grow, I sort of began to become more curious as to who this mystery man was. I felt like I really had this deep-rooted connection with him. I really thought I felt it. Perhaps he was a teacher of some sort, or a successful businessman. I had taken it upon myself to do the research and look for him myself. After months of bugging the clinic where I guess I was conceived at, I had finally gotten a name, number, and address. I contacted him as soon as I could. I was so eager to meet this man. He was essentially my biological father, right? We met at a diner, and nothing was what it had seemed at all. I could smell the alcohol from across the booth. He was not what I had imagined him to be at all. I felt so crushed. I only stayed for about 20 minutes as a courtesy, then left. I still didn't know much about him when I left, nor did I want to. I hoped to never again see that man. I do not consider he and I related, and I honestly regret pursuing to meet him in the first place. The last story is called The Good and the Bad. I've had a couple of months to sit and think about whether or not my story was worth sharing. I have finally decided someone deserves to hear it. So here goes nothing. I guess it's not hard for people that come from single mothers to question it all. Where they come from, how they exist without a father, who their other half is. I've always known. I don't remember how old I was when it clicked, or when my mom told me, but I've always known that I'm alive because of anonymous sperm. It's not one of those things that hits you right away when you're in the fourth grade and can't pick up on what it means. It's not one of those things that affects me every single day. I've always just known. I guess that growing up like this wasn't as bad as it could have been. I don't have the hard life some other people have. But I would be lying if I didn't say that every single day, I lost sleep. Every single day, I would stop writing in class or lose my focus and wonder if this man thinks of me too. Does he walk down the street and see a child and realize that he actually brought someone like them into this world? How about the future? Does he think about what the hell he's going to do if one of these children finds out who he is? I wish he did. I wish he thought that one day, someone that feels incomplete, lost, and curious would accidentally track him down on Google just after thinking it would never work out, and message him. I did just this. After all, I thought that it was a simple message. I spent days crafting what I wanted to say. I wanted him to know my name, that I'm not trying to come in and be a part of his life, that I just wanted him to know that I'm here in this world thinking of him. And most importantly, that if he does not want to begin a conversation with me about this, then he does not have to respond. Or he can respond and tell me never to talk to him again. I was content because I knew this way I would get a direct answer. He could either read it and not respond, respond saying that he does not want to talk to me ever, or start a conversation with me and show interest. All I was looking for was an answer of some sort. I definitely got that, but it was all so unexpected. It started with a hello. He asked me how I was. He told me that messaging him was such a big thing to do on my part. He seemed like a nice man. He seemed interested, or so I thought, since he took the time to say these things. I went to sleep thinking that this was the best day of my entire life. The next night, I checked my phone to find another message from him. It said that he thought it would be best if I waited until I was of age to actually contact him. He meant 18 and through the cryobank. I couldn't help but agree because, honestly, that's the proper way to handle a situation like this. But at the same time, I could not take the fact that this man came into my life for one night and was out the next. I still can't handle that. He unfriended me on Facebook to emphasize that we are no longer going to be in touch. He wanted me to explicitly know that this was no longer going to work. I know I contacted him personally, and that was wrong. But having the man that is half of you come into your life one night and then slowly slip away the next is the most devastating thing. While devastated, I can't help but be content at the same time, because even though he cut me off, maybe now that he knows my name, he will toss and turn and lose sleep at night. Maybe he will wake up at 4 a.m. and know that I'm awake too, and was awake for years, thinking of him and feeling just as horribly. And those are all of our stories for today. I want to thank you for writing in and being brave enough to share your journey with us. That is always a vital thing, and we appreciate it. I will see you guys a few Mondays from now. This is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project.